Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'm talking about love. And you know, we have that one part at the end of the epistle lesson where it says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for the love one another has fulfilled the law. Well, as I was looking at this, our whole group of readings today are about love. 2 Corinthians 13. When we get into weddings, we usually hear this because it finishes up, and the greatest of these is love. Why is love so important, and why is it one of the fundamentals of the Christian church? You know, one of the things that I think we forget is the difference between the way we view God as Christians and the way the Old Testament view God. Is God in the Old Testament is a God of judgment, but yet he still loves these people, doesn't he? In the New Testament, God is all love. But now take a look at the Old Testament lesson today. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Who's the son of man? Jesus. Okay? So he's talking to Jesus in this. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning for me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that person, wicked person, shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. All right, now stop and think about this. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way. What is he showing? Love. You know, part of the thing is, Jesus told us, love one another, okay? As you love yourself. All right, so if we love one another, if we are a big family and we are all important to one another, that's one of the greatest examples of love there is. But now we know that the mission field is out through that door. What about loving everyone that's out there? Now that's where it gets a little difficult, don't it? You know, and that's the thing. All right, if you're a conservative, you take a look at a liberal. How could he even think that way? If you're a liberal, you look at a conservative. Have you lost your mind? But is that God that's saying that, or is man saying that? Well, that's man, isn't it? So when you start looking at things, you have to accept people the way they are. So not only do you celebrate what is the same, but you also celebrate differences. Okay? There's a book down there called The Aurora. The Aurora was the book, the newspaper in Philadelphia at the time of the Revolution and in the first 50 years of our country. It's really interesting because it's political commentary on what was going on in the United States. Guess what they were talking about? Liberals and conservatives back then too. But what did they come up with? They came up with a form of government, okay, where you have the people on the right, the people on the left, they get together and talk, they end up in the middle, something we can all live with. Now, what is that? That's love. Okay? You know, the thing is that if we try and make it all one way or all the other, that's not love. That's a dictatorship. So our founding fathers, I think, when they came up with this, were really smart. Now, remember, during the 4th of July, my sermon was that day was The Witness of the Founding Fathers. And all he did was just read what they wrote about the church and the way they viewed religion. And we found out that the founding fathers envisioned this as a Christian country, which we call Christian Judeo values, because we are based both on the New and Old Testament. You with me? Okay. Look at the psalm with me today. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Is that love? Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Okay? But as we go through, we get through to number 5, which is, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. Listen, Lord, I screwed up. I was wrong. Please forgive me. For God so loved the world. I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Isn't that love? Sure it is. Now, here's something I want to point out to you. Let's go to the epistle lesson today. Submission to the authorities. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. What is Paul telling us right there? Do what the authorities tell you to do. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Pretty heavy statement, isn't it? Now, let's talk about that for a second. Luther wrote a treatise on this called The Two Kingdoms. And it all comes from when Jesus held up the denarii and said, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's. Okay? Remember, he said, whose picture is on the denarii? Caesar's. So you give to Caesar what is Caesar. But now, what happens with the authorities if they want you to do something? Well, you should do it. How many of you in here were in the military? Raise your hands. All right, quite a few of you. That's all right. All right, so if you received an order, what do you do? Boy, that was quick. Of course you do. You don't stand there and debate it with your sergeant or with your commanding officer. You say, yes, sir, and you get her done. Right? But what happens if that rule or that order is not good? Pardon? Exactly. What do you do? I mean, think of after World War II. You had the situation where the German soldiers were said, I just followed orders. But Luther wrote 500 years ago that if the order is not godly, you have to question. And the military said, you can put your disagreement in writing. Okay? Not too wise all the time, but if you totally disagree with something, you can do that. But you're still going to follow the order. Okay? But you can disagree. But let me share you a story. I've told you this before. My pastor when I was a kid was Vern Mueller. Pastor Mueller, very German, still talk broken American citizen, but his first language was German. Okay. He was a lieutenant in the United States Army during the Battle of the Bulge and was captured by the Germans. Back then, the Germans were killing pastors, so he had to take his crosses off. So he's in the prison of war, you know, he's a lieutenant, but he's German Lutheran, and he spoke German. You know who his ministry was to? The German army. Because when the Germans found out they had a Lutheran pastor who spoke German, they're the ones that came in and talked to him. Now stop and think about that. Here you have an American pastor ministering to German soldiers. Does that sound a little funny to you? Well, not in this case, was it? Because Pastor Mueller was a great blessing to these men. Because they started to question. You know, they were blindly following orders before. But when I read things like this, you know, there's another part to this where the authorities above you have to be acting in the best interests of the country. Sometimes that's there, sometimes it's not. And that's sad, you know, because the love that our government can have for us can be a positive thing if it's treated as love. But when we get down to the bottom here, look what we said at the bottom of the submission to the authorities. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. You know, treat people with respect. Treat the authorities with respect. Remember Matthew was a tax collector? How were the tax collectors viewed in the ancient world? They were hated. Okay? Of course, if we ever have, you know, dealings with the IRS, they're not our favorite people either, are they? Instead of the Internal Revenue Service, it's the Infernal Revenue Service. But we respect, you know, as my dad used to say, there's two things required in life. You got to pay taxes and die. You ever heard that before? Oh, yeah. You ever said it before? Oh, yeah. But the thing is that when you talk about that, we do. We have to pay taxes because we wouldn't have roads out here. We wouldn't have street lights. We wouldn't have sewers. We wouldn't have water. It's something we have to do. It's there for the common good. And that's what we're paying for on that. Sometimes I wish they weren't charging as much, but they do. Okay? But what do we owe falling through the law through love or fulfilling? Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. All right, now remember I keep on telling you I made a pledge to preach proper distinction between law and gospel. Okay? What is law? It's what we do. What is gospel? It's what we receive from God. Now, when we receive it, it leads us to do things. But it's because we want to, not because we have to. Make sense? Okay. So, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So, to fulfill the law, we have to love. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. Did you ever think that you're following a commandment when you love someone? For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you should not covet. There's the Ten Commandments. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So when we love the authorities, are we fulfilling the law? Yes. What happens if you're a conservative and there's a liberal government in place? You still love the authorities. And if there's a conservative government in place, the liberals, you still got to love the authorities. Because we have come together for the common good. I mean, stop and think the preamble to the Declaration of Independence and the we the people at the beginning of the Constitution. In order to form a more perfect union. we have a blessing in this country that few countries have. And that means we have to learn to disagree in love. Not hatred. And boy, there is a hard thing to do, isn't it? So, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your authorities as yourself. You should love the people out there who haven't taken a bath in 3 weeks and come to Jesus loves you for a shower as yourself. Gesundheit. Der Donnerwetter hat nicht lange Rent bezahlt. That thunder weather hasn't paid his rent in a long time. You know, so when we start taking love, love is more encompassing than just between a husband and a wife or a man and a woman. Love is what the world operates on. And sometimes you have to disagree in love just as well as you agree in love. And I think that is what Paul is trying to get through to us today, is the fact that we can disagree, but we do it in love, or we agree, and we do it in love. May this love keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.